Grace, mercy, and peace be unto us from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God which engages us this day is the two verses immediately following our lesson which was just read, John chapter 9, verses 40 and 41, where we read, "Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked, 'What? Are we blind too?' Jesus said, 'If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains.'" So far the text. Dear friends in Christ, if someone is oblivious to something obvious in their life, we say that they have a blind spot toward that in their life. For example, if a friend or a relative has a drinking problem, but they just don't see it, they deny it, it's a blind spot in their life. Or if a friend or a relative has a tendency to make comments that are oftentimes offensive and hurtful, but they're blind to it, they just don't see it, they're oblivious to it, we say they have a blind spot toward it. Ironically, in our text for today, in the lesson that was just read, Jesus gives sight to a man who had been born blind, and in so doing, reveals a perpetual blind spot that the Pharisees had toward Jesus. They could see his works, and they could see and hear the reports of what he had done. They could see him physically, but they were spiritually blind to his identity as the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of God incarnate, the Savior of the world. They had a perpetual spiritual blind spot toward him, his identity, and what he had come to do. And ironically, all that Jesus was doing, including giving sight to the blind, were identified by the prophets in the Old Testament as being characteristics of the dawn of the Messianic age and of the functions that the Messiah himself would do. For example, in Isaiah chapter 35, the prophet predicts that in that day the eyes of the blind would be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. And that's certainly the way Jesus understood the miracles, the signs, if you will, that he was performing. In Luke chapter 7, when John the Baptizer sends his disciples to Jesus to ask him the question, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect another?" Jesus replies, "Go back. Tell John what you have seen and what you have heard. The blind see, the lame walk. Those with leprosy have been healed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the good news is being preached to the poor." In other words, open your eyes and see. Remove the blind spiritual spots of doubt from your thinking. See your works. See my works. And see me. And that's certainly also the way John understood, the author of our text, understood these miracles or signs of Jesus Christ as he refers to them. For in John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John says that Jesus performed many other signs and wonders in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are recorded that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing, you may have life in his name. But yet, the Pharisees were oblivious to what seemed and should have been obvious. They just could not see because they had perpetual spiritual blindness with respect to Jesus Christ. And so they call the parents of the man forward and insinuate that perhaps this man who now can see is not the same man who was their son who was blind from birth. And when that didn't work, implied that perhaps he really wasn't blind at birth after all. They preferred the blindness of doubt and unbelief to the light of the world. And so they also had a spiritual blind spot when it came to this man who had been born blind and blind from birth as well. Instead of looking at him as a fellow child of God, a fellow one who had been created by the master of all, instead they could only look at him with contempt. They could only ridicule him as one who either must have sinned in his mother's womb or must be bearing the curse of the sin of his parents. And they tried to ridicule him once again and sent him away saying, "You were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" Spiritual blind spot toward Jesus Christ. Spiritual blind spot toward this man who had been blind since birth. It seemed so obvious, but they were oblivious to it all. But before we are too zealous in our criticism of the Pharisees, we must remember that we too are conceived and born just as sinful, just as blind spiritually as were those Pharisees. It is only because God has washed us, not in the pool of Siloam, but in the water and the word of baptism, that our eyes have been opened, that we have seen Jesus Christ through the eyes of faith for who he is, our Savior, that we can confess, as did the man in our text for today, "Yes, Lord, I believe," and worship him, just as the man in our text did. But still, there are those nagging spiritual blind spots, aren't there? Those spiritual blind spots that the old Adam would entice us to utilize on a daily basis, even amongst the called and chosen people of God. Just yesterday, we heard from this pulpit, from Isaiah chapter 42, how God referred to his chosen people Israel, his chosen servant, as being blind, at the same time worshiping Yahweh and also worshiping the false gods of the Canaanites. Or think of the incredible spiritual blind spot exemplified by David, God's chosen ruler, in his relationship with Bathsheba and ultimately with Uriah. Even amongst the called and chosen people of God, the old Adam can still present the spiritual blind spots for us on a daily basis. What about us? What about our spiritual blind spots even on a daily basis? Oh, we may not have the gross outward examples of idolatry exemplified by the people of Israel in the Old Testament, or the gross outward examples of adultery as exemplified by David. But what about the way we look at one another? Are we tempted to look at one another in the same way the Pharisees looked at that man who had been blind since birth? Has your view of one another changed over time? Think back to the first day you were sitting here, you, those of you who are students, in new student orientation, and you heard Vice President Rockman address you as those who are the answers to the prayers of God's people, that he would raise up workers for his harvest field. And that's the way you saw one another. As fellow redeemed brothers of Christ, future colleagues in the ministry, has your vision changed? Have there been spiritual spots of blindness injected? Have you begun to evaluate one another and measure yourself against one another, no longer seeing yourselves as colleagues, but as competitors? And so have you found items to criticize in one another and good things to overlook? On a daily basis, we are tempted to operate with spiritual blindness, or at least spots of blindness, when it comes to one another. And if we're not careful, That same kind of viewing one another can be used when we view our professors, our students, our colleagues on the staff here at the seminary, and if we're not careful, even our spouse and our children. What's the answer? The answer is back to the water and back to the Word. Not the water in the pool of Siloam, but the water in which God washed us and took away our spots of spiritual blindness. Luther, more than 450 years ago, penned the words in the significance of using water in baptism, that through daily contrition and repentance, the old Adam should be drowned with all of its sinful desires and lusts, and that daily a new man rise forth and live before God in righteousness and purity forever. It's this daily use of baptism that reminds us of the opportunity that we have to go before God on a daily basis and ask for the strength to renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways as we did when God washed us. It reminds us of the daily opportunity we have to be in his word and at his table often to receive the strength and the sustenance that only he can provide for us. And it reminds us also that on a daily basis, there is forgiveness. Forgiveness for each and every time that the spiritual spots of blindness are the spots through which we view one another and ultimately our God. And there is forgiveness only because our gracious God was not oblivious to our need and instead sent his Son to pay the price for our sin. There was only one time that the Father was oblivious, and that was when his Son hung on the cross and cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Oblivious to that cry for help because of his love for you and for me. And now, as a result, he no longer sees the results of our spiritual blindness on a daily basis, but rather sees us clothed in the righteousness of his own Son. And so, on a daily basis, not only during Lent, we ask God to remove the spots of spiritual blindness in our lives and to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. May God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard our hearts and our minds in this one true faith unto life everlasting. Amen.